Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
We're still missing a few of the regulars, but, you know, you're right, we'll make it through. She'll hopefully join us later. She's tending to some other issues up in her area, so hopefully she'll be able to jump on a little bit later. But for back-to-back weeks, I'm fortunate enough to be joined by Rob Wilkins. Rob, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here and glad to talk some AEW Dynamite that took place in Buffalo, New York tonight.
Well, I am very happy for you to be here. Otherwise, I'd be just sitting here by myself talking out to the board, and hopefully people are in the chat, which they are. So thank you so much, guys, for being in the chat. Lord Kev, Taylor, Lieutenant Colonel, Tim, Pieces. Thank you, guys, for joining us as always. Oh, Rob, I don't know. I'm going to ask you, you know, what's been new since the last time we talked, and how was your weekend? And, you know, it's been 7 days since I last saw you.
Well, you know, it's where I live. It's been interesting. I live in southern Minnesota, and I don't know, like, if people pay attention to those who live in the United States, national news, where I live, there was a river dam that was very close to, and it will eventually give way, and I live about 8 miles from it, and I live about 200 miles from the river, or 200 miles, 200 yards from the river, so I'm just kind of staying pat right now. So it's been a crazy few days, but all is looking well, but I'm good, you know, that's what matters right now. So it's just been very interesting, kind of going with my own, I guess, I don't know, it's really hard to explain with everything going on, but I'm here, I'm excited to talk about wrestling and get my mind off of that other garbage. So, I just want to talk wrestling, so I'm at the right place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, wrestling is a great escape mechanism for a lot of things that go on in life. I, myself, since we last spoke, and we're still kind of recovering from a long weekend out in Vegas. I got so mad that WrestleMania was going to move from Minneapolis to Las Vegas, I decided to go out there and see what the big deal was. So I went out there, and I spent Friday through Monday night, got back into Omaha around 2:30 a.m. on Tuesday. So it was a long trip, but we made it. Got to tour Allegiant Stadium out there. It was pretty cool just to see how massive that stadium is and all the bells and whistles that they put into it. So as far as modern stadiums go, it's pretty impressive. I haven't seen SoFi yet. I'd like to go up and see, you know, the Vikings stadium up there, US Bank. But
yeah, it's nice. And SummerSlam 2026, I'm counting the days. So I got a lot of them to go, but oh well, maybe one day I can hope.
Yeah. And while I was in Vegas, I tried to do a couple of different looks. So if you followed me on social media at _AsianJoe on Twitter or Instagram, you might have seen pictures of my various looks and my personas. I think my Friday night in Fremont Street, I was Joey Vegas, and I had the full matching shirt and shorts with the gold chain and sunglasses. I did call and get permission from Amp Money to borrow that look. So I didn't want to infringe on his gimmick that he does on his cruises. So I did that. And then otherwise, you know, Saturday night was kind of the go out night. So I dressed up a little bit. We ate a fancy state dinner. Had a club. Yeah, I'm not a club person, but I just kind of went with the flow. And so, yeah, it was a weekend. And I'm not built to stay up until 6 a.m. in the morning. Those days are long gone for me.
Well, it's like the Oscar-winning film, 12-time Oscar-winning film, The Hangover. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except herpes. That shit will come back with you. So,
yes,
just remember that.
I did not have herpes come back to me. I had this hat come back with me.
Good.
So that's about it. Well, let's try to think some news and notes to usually kind of talk about what's going on. You know, AEW related or AEW adjacent. I was kind of, you know, away from wrestling for a while for the weekend, so I'm not quite sure everything that's been happening. Rob, you're kind of plugged into to paying attention to what's going on. What's been going on around, you know, AEW related lately?
Well, you know, it seems like everything's been, unfortunately, people have been talking about the ratings, unfortunately, in my opinion, and that gets kind of boring with me, so I tend to not get into the ratings talk, because I always look at it like, hey, it doesn't affect me, ratings wise, doesn't affect me, it doesn't really affect the viewer at all. So I kind of just stay out of the ratings talk, because it just tends to get people going per se. So I think the biggest news out of AEW has been lately been the Ricky Starks talk. What's going on with him? There's been all kinds of weird he said, she said stuff, like was he not able to wrestle last year in Calgary, or not wrestle in Calgary, but just all kinds of weird things, like is he leaving AEW for WWE, like stuff like that. It's just a really crazy thing going on with him when it comes to the behind the scenes talk. Nothing that he's done, is just people like to talk because people are very interested in, obviously, with what we do, and because it's a good thing that people talk, because that's, let's be honest, that's how Fightful makes their money, and that's how I get paid. And it's just one of those things right now with Ricky Starks. He's one thing that I can say he does really well is he keeps his information close to him, like get close to the vest. You know, he's very quiet when it comes to that stuff, so not many rumors get out about him.
Well, I suppose that's kind of a blessing and a curse for him in his position, because, you know, so many people are, you know, chattering in the background or speculating, but at the same time, like, it shows how many people are really invested in him as a performer and as a wrestler, and you know, they appreciate his talents and are wondering why he's not on our television screen right now, because, you know, if it's not injury, what's going on? People want to see him. So I think it's just really kind of a double-edged sword, I guess, but I'm hoping things get just kind of, you know, figured out, and one time eventually pop up on our screen somewhere, sometime, and I guess we'll find out then.
Yeah, and the other thing that's been pretty popular, or a lot of people have been talking about, is the Shane McMahon stuff that's been going on. A lot of talk about him possibly going to, like, he's reached out to AEW folks that he knows, friends. Tony Khan says he's never talked to him. Today in an interview, he says that Shane McMahon's welcome to join AEW, or kind of like gave the say, hey, we're interested, you know, like, sure, you know. So it's one of those things where I believe it when I see it type thing, but you never know. That's the thing about pro wrestling. You never say never in this business, because I think we've seen that enough now that you never say never. And then I think the other things, Hangman Page, and I think a lot of talk about Ricochet going to AEW. Personally, I think Ricochet has obviously has a lot of leverage. It's easy for me to spend somebody else's money, but I think he can do obviously whatever the hell he wants. If he wants to wrestle some in AEW, he can. If he wants to do a couple of storylines in TNA or go wrestle in New Japan, do a couple of things. I think he has the the easiest way to say it is I think he can be, in a way, I think he could be the next, not necessarily, not saying he's going to be necessarily as even close to as big as Cody Rhodes has been, but I actually think he, if he did come back to WWE, I think he could be bigger than what Drew McIntyre has been able to do, depending on what he does. I mean, there's a lot of things I think he needs to work on, though. Mike skills is one of them, but who knows? I mean, that's my opinion. I could be completely off on that. Who knows?
Yeah. I would kind of like to see him, go out and kind of do a lot of various things and kind of, work at various promotions before he really comes back and decides on starting with one.
Even if he doesn't go back to WWE, I'd like to see him just do a couple, just do the Matt Cardona thing for a little bit. Just go do whatever you want, because he's going to get that money either way. But like I said, it's easy for me to spend somebody else's money. I don't know what he has, goals. So whatever I've always said this on my show and any show I've ever been on, whatever is best for the wrestler themselves is what I'm all for. So.
Yeah, I think he holds all the cards right now when it comes to his career, and he can pretty much dictate where he wants to go and how much he wants to get paid. So, well, I think that all the happenings around AEW, Rob.
There's been talk about Megan Bain, she's a free agent. There's talk that she's talked to AEW, but. Nothing in the air there, nothing on if she's going to be a Forbidden Door, nothing on if she's signed. So I think that's the biggest thing. Those are the biggest things that's come up, in my opinion. There's Fightful Select broke today that MXM, Mansoor, and Mace have been talking to AEW about wrestling there, doing ROH stuff as well. So there's that, but that's really all I can say that comes to mind right now. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but that's the thing when you're just keep going and you tend to forget some things here and there, but I think those are the biggest stories.
Yeah. Well, it's Forbidden Door week. So we'll have probably a lot more stuff coming out after that show and we'll just see what happens after Sunday. But let me, since we're done with our news and notes section, this is usually the time we go into our first break because, our Dynamite rundowns are pretty quick nowadays. So, Rob, last week I talked about a little bit about that we were on the Shine Wizards Network and letting you know that you're not usually on our show very often. So wanted to refresh your memory about that. And for everyone else out there listening who might not know, we are part of the Shining Wizards Network, and there's a numerous amount of shows on this network, and we have a little commercial that you can listen to and hear about all these wonderful programs, or maybe not so wonderful. It's up to your taste, I guess. But we will be back shortly after these messages.
Support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is the Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of Down Under Pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs, I'm talking Jacks, I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about.
Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster.
I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. A podcast with two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Banks? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Bro, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing!
You got a slight one in there? You're a man. You're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there.
Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there.
A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we're back. There are some of the wonderful programs you can hear on the Shining Wizards Network. If you want to support us while you support them, you can do so by subscribing to this YouTube channel if you haven't already. Or if you have already, feel free to help someone else or ask them to do it. It helps us a lot. Go ahead and like this podcast also on YouTube. And hit the notification bell. Go on our social media at Mark Order Pod. Follow us on there. Ryan's usually the one manning the social media account, so just be fun and nice to him on there, and we're very engaging there. So trying to think some other ways we can support us. Rob, I'm trying to think. I think there's another way we can support each other here, and that would be going to Pro Wrestling Tees. So Pro Wrestling Tees / Mark Order Pod. You can go there and buy one of our lovely t-shirts. We have four designs for you to pick from. The big, big logo on the chest. We have the stack words. Then we have the double-sided stack words and logo on the back chest, on the back, sorry. And then the universal favorite is the logo on the front left chest area. And then the large microphone hand logo on the back. So feel free to buy a shirt. The tent terminal floor, though, you know what to do. I mean, you bought a shirt or two, right? So tell your friend to buy a shirt. They should be having a 4th of July sale here pretty soon, I'm sure. So that would be a good time to save some money and to help support us.
For sure.
Oh, Rob. Well, I was trying to figure a good segue into Dynamite tonight. I don't have a good segue from the t-shirt shill, but I guess MJF was shilling a little bit in the beginning. So yeah. I also guess I could use the theme of tonight's show is really, coexisting. So I could use that transition with you. Rob coexists every Friday, don't you?
Yes, sir. 3 o'clock Eastern. Fightful Overbooked.
Yes, I'm Fightful Overbooked. So that would be my sad attempt of a segue. So, kicking off Dynamite, we get New York's own MJF as he comes out to address the Buffalo crowd. But before he even can really utter much to the crowd, he's interrupted by the hometown boy, Daniel Garcia. And then Garcia enters the ring, kind of tells MJF to, think before he speaks, because he knows what MJF is probably going to do. His usual run down the crowd, make fun of Daniel Garcia's mom in the front row, all the greatest hits. But Garcia's really out there to do one thing, and that's really to, say nice things about MJF. Really credit him for lighting a fire under him and motivating him to get to where he's at currently and challenging for, the international title. And MJF comes back and he had some nice things to say about, you know, Garcia, and talks about how he is one of the first people he sees as being a guy who can really knock him off the pedestal as far as being, you know, the backbone and the face of AEW. So a lot of New York love going back and forth here. But and then he was being so nice to Garcia, he gives him a shot of facing him again at All in Wembley. Of course, everyone pops, everyone's happy. But not to be outdone, the Billy Goat himself, Will Ospreay, comes out and decides to interject himself into this conversation. And he also had wonderful things to say about Garcia and appreciates his directness and asking and telling him that he wants a shot at the title. So Will Ospreay says, let's do it. I'll challenge you for the I'll put up my international title as well as my, you know, AEW world title, which he cart before the horse, but hey. And he challenges him to fight next week on Dynamite at, was it Battle of the Beach or
Beach? Yeah, Beach Break, I think.
Beach Break.
I believe.
So everyone's happy about this, right? So everyone's happy. Camera pans over to MJF. He's kind of stuck in his feels in the corner, feeling like he kind of got overshadowed and outdone by Ospreay. And he just kind of leaves and tells Garcia, you know, congratulations, we'll focus on your match. And he goes out of the ring. And that's pretty much it for the opening segment. So, Rob, what do you think of this little three-man dance
love
here?
Fest. Yeah. It was weird to start off, I thought. I was kind of just... I thought it was just odd the way it was going. But it made sense at the end, which I'm glad they recovered, because what it was, the intention was to get MJF kind of like irritated and pissed off, and that's what it was at the end. Now you have MJF kind of irritated with two people. He's more irritated, it looks like, with Will Ospreay. And if you're telling me that we're getting a Will Ospreay end, I think in an eventual MJF feud, I will take it. And I like how they did it, at least. I thought it was very interesting that Ospreay said he's going to win the title. You don't usually see these kind of promos in AEW at all, where they put where they're going to say they're going to win this title ahead of time and already talking about defending it against people like Daniel Garcia. I think, like two Lieutenant Colonel says, I think it's very possible we see Ospreay versus MJF at Wembley. Last week I was thinking it was going to be Ospreay versus Ricochet. And it still could be, but you never know. Because it could still be Daniel Garcia, maybe. I thought it was really early at first when they brought that up. I'm like, that's as you can see, my cat's wanting to be part of the show. I thought that was really early for them to go that route. I was like, MJF versus Daniel, don't get me wrong, two great wrestlers. I just wasn't expecting MJF to challenge. Thank you. And that was, I thought, was pretty odd, but I'm starting to maybe see the writing on the wall that this might turn into an MJF Will Ospreay feud, and we'll have to see where it goes.
I forgot to mention that, you know, during Ospreay's, you know, admiration of Garcia's total recent win streak lately, he did compare Garcia's winning, like stacking up wins quicker than he lasts in the bedroom. So I did learn that Will Ospreay, for all the energy he has, does not last long in the bedroom.
Yeah, that was information I did not need to know, but he's working on it, so good for him.
I wouldn't. This kind of took me in a different direction. I really thought maybe we were going to get like a triple threat type of match for the international title with the three of them. But I think, you know, if Garcia and Ospreay have their one-on-one and this eventually leads to, like you said, the MJF Ospreay match. I think that'd be great. And I'm thinking that MJF probably interjects himself into the match next week somehow, some way.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. I think that's exactly what we're going to see. And I'm curious to know if he interjects himself in the Swerve match now at Forbidden Door. I'm very curious to see if that happens.
Well, I'd be remiss if we didn't do the fun scale in Ryan's absence. You're aware of here, since you were here last week.
Yeah, I'd give this a 2 on the scale for now, because I just was very confused by everything.
And for those who are listening and not watching, a 2 is based on the Ryan level of fun, and this is an excitable amount of fun is what level 2 is. So I'm with you there, I think. I'm about 2, so we are in agreement. And speaking of Swerve, they go backstage with him, and him and Nana are watching everything wrap up on the monitor there, and he talks a little bit to the camera and talks to Ospreay in the camera, and you know, it pretty much saying, you know, Will, why are you so focused on Garcia, and why are you so focused on giving away title shots that you don't, of titles you don't have yet? And it kind of sets up the whole, you know, how will their dynamic play out later tonight in the main event when they team up against Gates of Agony. So that's kind of been the whole thing, is Swerve's attack on Ospreay's focus. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, the dude is, as Kate calls him, he's a walking golden doodle. I mean, his attention's everywhere. Like, he just, squirrel, shiny object, bruv. Like, it's just, he's everywhere. So I understand Swerve saying that, you know, Ospreay needs to kind of rein it in a little bit.
I was not expecting my cat to join, like, now. No. This really happens.
Yeah, what's Rob's cat's name here?
Tiggy.
Tiggy.
Yep.
Is it short for Tiger or Tigger?
Nope, just Tiggy. My mom gave it its name. I gave her its name, and it just stuck, so.
All right, well, we'll have to get her, right?
Yep.
We'll have to get her fun scale level later on, then.
Yeah, well.
Well, after that backstage segment with Swerve, we go back to the ring, and it's Blackpool Combat Club versus Los Ingobernables de Japón, and that's the team of Takahashi, Shingo, and Titan, with Brian Danielson on commentary. Looking through my notes here. Takahashi catches Wheeler with a Death Valley driver for 2, off the ropes with a lariat, but Moxley breaks it up and ends the match within a DQ by hitting Takahashi with a chair. And then I tried to follow with some spots in this, but I feel like when I try to figure out spots in like 6-man tag matches and things like that, there's just so much going on. So I looked kind of toward the bigger picture, and the bigger picture for me was, I thought it kind of odd that they ended it in a DQ.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think of this match, Rob?
Well, you know, when it was announced, I was like everybody else, I think, like, holy hell, thank you for giving us this on a Wednesday night. I think my attention went towards more like, what way are we going? Which direction are we going with Claudio and Danielson? Even though Danielson was on commentary, I was curious to see if he was going to mention like some stuff with Claudio. Nothing really caught my eye, like caught my ear or anything like that regarding that situation. So overall, I thought this was pretty solid for what it was. The DQ, Lieutenant Colonel, he says that's the 16th DQ finish in 5 years for AEW. So it's one of those things where it's like, it is what it is type thing, you know? So it's, I get it. I think that's it makes sense in this case. That's the best way to say it. As long as they make it make sense, I'm okay with it. They were able to set up Naito and Moxley some more for the folks at home who might not know, who don't know Naito. I think that goes a long ways, or it'll help in a little bit, in my opinion. So I think that was what maybe did the most of it, you know. So that was,
yeah. I can understand, like, you don't necessarily want T10 to take the loss, because I feel like BCC and, you know, CMLL guys have kind of had their back and forth with trading wins and losses. So I don't feel like you want to give one an advantage over the other. You obviously aren't going to have Takahashi take a loss here during his head match with Moxley. So, yeah, I guess, you know, the more you talked about it, I guess maybe the DQ finish works. It just seemed very out of place for the Blackpool Combat Club to do that. But after that, during this melee of brawling, Moxley's opponent for Forbidden Door comes out. That would be the one, Naito. And Naito uses hits, and much like Kate, he is very fashionably late. He comes strolling down the ring, makes the "I will break you" hand gesture, and that sets up for Naito and Moxley at Forbidden Door.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to this match. I think for the longest time, I thought Moxley was going to lose his title at Forbidden Door. Now I'm just not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder who he's going to drop the belt to. I mean, I figure it has to be some New Japan wrestler, right? So,
yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out who would be over there.
I mean, Naito makes sense. I mean, if that's what they're going to go with, that if they're going to go that route, I guess it's just, we'll have to see.
Well, the next match is an Owen Hart Cup quarterfinal match with Switchblade Jay White versus Rey Fénix. And at the start of the match, there's a lot of people at the ring side. We've got the, you know, Bang Bang Gang. We have Penta. We have Alex. People are throwing up hand gestures of Zero Miro and guns up and just shenanigans all around. And surprisingly, of all people, Rick Knox is the one who said, no more shenanigans in the ring. I'm gonna throw all the people out of ringside back to the back now.
Which is very weird, because when you think Law and Order and the ring, there's a few people you think of. You think of ring generals like Walter or Gunther, The Undertaker, and Rick Knox. So it makes sense.
And sometimes I put Rick Knox number one.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was refreshing, I guess. So that gave it a nice, you know, fair match dynamic between Jay White and Rey Fénix. So I was looking forward to this match when I saw it announced. And, I felt like it was a little, maybe some missed time in the beginning. And it really picked up after the commercial break. And after the commercial break, you know, Fénix hits a super kick, does a rope walk, and a frog splash. And then, you know, Hurt Rana for another two count. Jay comes back with a block on a super kick and spikes him with a DDT. And then he does his sheer drop brainbuster, but still can't get the win after that. And then a sleeper suplex is reversed and almost gets it for Ray. Switchblade hits a Uranagi, tries for the win there, doesn't get it. Go back and forth. Lots of reversals and blocks of the Blade Runner. And then eventually a roundhouse kick from Fénix into a fireman carry reversed, and then a Switchblade. Blade Runner. Yeah. So it was a lot back and forth toward the end. So I think the right person won. And yeah. I don't know. What did you think of the match, Rob? I mean, did it hit all the marks for you?
Yeah, it did. And like you said, I think it, in my opinion, it started off somewhat slow, but after that first commercial break, it got a lot better. And I just really enjoyed it. And now we know going on, we'll see. So I think we see Jay White's going to face the winner of the wild card Jeff Jarrett match, I believe now. So, and I think that Adam Page is going to end up being that wild card. That's just, I think that's pretty, I think that's obvious at this point with what, and we'll talk about that here shortly, I'm sure. But yeah, I think the right guy won. It was a good match. Rey Fénix, it was one of those things where just looking at this, I didn't anticipate him beating Jay White. I just didn't see it. But I did think if there was an upset that was going to happen in the first round, I thought it would have been Jay White.
Mm-hmm.
That would have lost. So. But overall, the match was good. I thought the match was really good. They beat the hell out of each other, and that's what you want. I mean, when you watch these two guys, when you're watching Jay White and Rey Fénix, these two guys have not been in the ring together much, and they brought it to each other. They hit hard, and that's one thing I respect out of both of them. They will bring the punches. And they definitely did that in this one.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a level 3, which is a lot of fun. Like I said, I think after that first commercial break really saved it for me and really picked it up and really gave me what I thought or what I expected out of the two guys competing. Rob, where are you at on this fun level?
I would give it a 3 as well. I think that's probably good. I think it went from a possible... Let's just say if it didn't pick up where after that commercial, I think it would have probably been between the 1 and the 2 phase. It definitely picked up some during the commercial break. So,
you know, Rob, you almost, based on the photo I have of Ryan and these full images, you almost look like you should be related with the back.
We actually are related. I don't admit it usually, but what? We are.
Man, way you broke kayfabe.
Right. Yep. Broke kayfabe. So yeah, we both the only way we're related is just our like puns. That's it though.
And yet you're still better looking. So you know.
Well, thank you. That's that I appreciate. It's the only contest I've won in that category, so that's good. Sorry, Ryan, that's not good for you.
No, Ryan fell and hit every branch of the learning tree and came out worse for it. But
he's a Phillies fan. That happened.
That, yeah, there it is. That's the difference. So after the match, as the Bang Bang Gang are out there celebrating with Jay White, Christian Cage comes out with the Patriarchy. And, you know, they, a couple weeks ago, were talking about how they were the best trio. So they come out and they have a little stare down with the Bang Bang Gang and the usual, who can out-heal the most? He'll be the other one in this one. It's like, you know, the Patriarchy comes down, acts like they're going to get involved. Bang Bang Gang tries to get them involved. And just, so who knows when we're going to get this match for the Trios titles? What do you think?
I think we'll probably get them this weekend, the way it's been going. Oh. I think it'll probably be a 0-hour match. And I'm okay with that. Man, that's weird. I don't know if it's weird for Christian Cage to go from the main event to a 0-hour match, but I guess it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things because it's a six-man, it's a trios match. So I don't know. I think the one thing that I like about it, it's kind of like a heel group, or it is a heel group versus a heel group, which you don't see often. So I do enjoy that part. And we'll just go from there, I guess, because it's these titles. I can't really picture this going on with the Patriarchy. Like, they don't really need these titles, so I'm not really sure why they're getting involved in this. I think it's better on the Bullet Club Gold with them having it. It brings a little bit more, I guess, entertainment value with Juice having it. I don't really... get the whole desire for Christian Cage to have like that part of the gold. Why doesn't he just try to go after the TNT title again or the international title or something? You know, that's the way I look at it, but it is one of those things where Christian Cage, did he main event? Oh, sorry. You know what? The main event last pay-per-view? Was it Willow versus Mercedes? Was that the main event? No, it was Christian and Swerve. Yeah. At a double or nothing, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
I would have gone with Mercedes and Willow, but yeah. Continuing on with Dynamite here, we go backstage with the EVPs, the Young Bucks, where we have Nicholas Jackson complaining about the Acclaimed and how they took advantage of, you know, his moment of weakness and his temper getting the best of him when he entered the ring with the belt, and it ended up costing them because they got hit by the belt instead.
Was the Anarchy in the Arena the main event?
That sounds about right.
Okay, so yeah, there we go. So, okay, that makes sense.
There are a couple, yeah, two people. No.
Okay.
So, as you know, Matthew and Nicholas are upset at the Acclaimed for taking advantage of them, and they're saying that, you know, they'll win when it counts, right? So, Matthew says, you know, Okada still has his title, and Jack Perry is going to win the TNC Championship, and, you know, furthermore, they're going to insert a wild card into the Owen Hart Cup. So we know the wild card will be coming from the Elite's choosing. And they said that wild card will run through the tournament and win the title match. So they'll have all the gold. And then I will stop there before we go to the next part about the Acclaimed going to the ring. But so I think the big news was that them announcing that they're going to choose the wild card entrant. And as you mentioned a few minutes ago, you kind of speculate that it would be, you know, Heyman and Page returning. That's kind of who I thought of first as well. It made the most sense as far as a member being of the Elite. It wasn't going to be Brandon Cutler. I think Adam Page would make sense, but I'm open to any other suggestions or theories or speculation people might have, whether it's you, Rob, or people in the chat.
I just don't see it being really anybody else, like who they could go with that would make sense. I mean, obviously, I guess it could be, I guess it could make any one of themselves like part of it, but I just think Hangman's the logical choice for it.
Yep, I agree. So, well, after a commercial break, the Acclaimed enter the ring, and they, you know, get on the mic and pretty much call out the Young Cucks and, you know, how they lost to the Acclaimed and how the Young Bucks are soft and, you know, they can't run the company anymore. And I'm going to be honest, their promo kind of bored me a little bit. I'm trying to figure out why they need to be out there, but it made more sense to me once they got interrupted by Okada and the Young Bucks.
Bitch. And
Okada coming out and says, "Scissor me, bitch."
Yeah, good.
And
I love it. I just never in a million years would have pictured like Okada just getting over. I mean, well, excuse me, let me rephrase this: getting over with just saying the word bitch, you know, just like, I mean, Okada can get over in a sleep, but just out of everything, just him saying bitch just gets me. It's great. I'm not complaining. I absolutely find it amazing.
Yeah, his delivery is perfect on it. So the Young Bucks and Okada then challenged the Acclaimed to a trio match at Forbidden Door, and Daddy Atlas on the mic, and you know, talks about how he had friends in high places, including a certain president.
Yeah.
Which then he tosses to the video string, and it's none other than Hiroshi Tanahashi, the president of New Japan. And he's up on the video board telling Okada that he's coming to Forbidden Door to fight him and the Elite, and that the Scissor Race is coming. So we have Okada saying scissor me, bitch, and then we have Tanahashi's calling himself the Scissor Ace. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, it's so weird. So weird. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's cool that you'll never hear me complain about Tanahashi and Okada being in the ring together at the same time. So it's just one of those things where it's just, it's like weird. It's just something I did not see this being. I did not see this happening out of tonight, this being a match set up. And I did not picture him teaming with the Acclaimed at all, but
I mean, at least I like the substitution of him being there instead of Daddy Ass to, you know, freshen it up a little bit. But
yeah,
I don't know where you go after this though. With, like, I assume the Elite are going to win this match, right? So
yeah, I'm hoping it leads to, like, Anthony Bowens getting pissed and finally just,
yeah,
like.
I guess
that's what I'm hoping, but I think everybody and their mother wants that. So,
or maybe, yeah. I mean, they're gonna have that the title match, right? So we still have that to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's that.
But yes, I don't know. I don't think we need. We didn't need. I don't think we need the. I don't know. The Bucks promo was one thing, like the Bat Day promo, then the Acclaim coming out, and then the Bucks coming out. I feel like there could have been something in there shortened, but I don't know. It just felt like a weird pacing right there. But anyhow, we go backstage again, and Renee Paquette is with the what they're calling the conglomeration, which includes Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, and Orange Cassidy. And Briscoe says on Sunday they'll be kicking ass and taking names. He needs a TNT championship to balance out his shoulders. Now, Orange Cassidy has Zack Sabre Jr. And then Kyle O'Reilly cuts him off and goes into a Briscoe-esque promo style on talking about his match tonight with ZSJ. And then somewhere along the line, Mark Briscoe jumps back in to help Kyle and Colton and shows him how to deliver it correctly. And calls ZSJ soft, like, you know, like Peppa the Pig, and that his boys are going to kick ass tonight and on Sunday. I will say, I think Mark is a little confused that he kept saying New York City. I feel like he said that a lot in his promo, so I'm like, I don't think that's where Forbidden Door is, but close enough.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's close enough too, and they just call it New York.
Mark had been great the last few weeks, giving these, you know, wild promos, and Kyle O'Reilly's impersonation of the Mark Briscoe promo tonight was great. And then, you know, Orange Cassidy, just, you know, of all people, just kind of playing the normal straight guy of to these, you know, comedic people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I thought it was solid. And I like Renee Paquette. She usually corpses at the end there, and you could tell when Briscoe said Peppa the Pig, she her smile got a little bit bigger, and with her being a mother of a child that's around that age, it totally made sense. So it was good. It was a good segment.
I don't know much about Peppa. I know a little bit about Bluey.
It's annoying. That's all to me, but
I don't have kids. You're about things, yeah. Rather friends who have, yep, kids.
There you go. Yep. I'm a Paw Patrol guy, if anything. But okay, there we go.
Fair. I hear good things about that. All right. Well, we go to our women's match of the night, which is a 6-woman tag of Mariah May, Mina Shirakawa, Toni Storm, versus the Outcast of Hardy Cameron, Saraya, and Anna Jay. I don't know if Anna Jay is a part of the Outcast or not. She's wearing their colors, at least. So I'll give her kudos for that, if nothing else. And this is kind of the first match of Can They Coexist of the Nights, with the love triangle going on with Mariah, Mina, and Tony.
Yeah.
So, Mina and Anna Jay start, and you know, Mina is kind of, you know, whipping up on Anna Jay to begin with some elbows and into Jerry. And then the match gets a little crazy before the commercial break. After commercial, a tag is made to Storm, and Storm, you know, goes on the attack on Saraya. Then she clears the apron, and the Jimmy Surplex connects, and she's, you know, fired up and ready for the hip attack. And then Sheer Tower tags in and fails to cut Saraya off, and Harley catches her with a lung blower. But then Mariah comes in and breaks it up, and the match breaks down even more. And, you know, it's your typical six-person tag match where everything chaos is going on. And eventually, the faces, or Mariah May and Mina and Tony, win by pinfall, win with the Mina driver on Harley Cameron. And then after the match, as they celebrate, Mariah May tried to make nice and wants Mina and Tony to celebrate with their champagne, and those two do a little cheers, and everything looks good, and they're kind of dancing along to the music. Mm-hmm. And then Mina goes back and gets a bottle of bubbly again, and goes to hit Tony. Tony sees it, ducks, and Mariah May gets hit with some friendly fire.
Yep.
So making this even more complicated for her after she enters the Forbidden Door. So, Rob, tell me a little about, let's talk about the match first, and then we can talk about the post-match happenings.
Well, I think what that settled for me tonight was, I think, this is just my opinion, and it could change, but I saw Toni Storm winning this whole time, obviously. I think most people do. I think we are going to see, I think Mariah May is going to not go with either one of them after the match. I think she's going to, I don't know what she's going to do, but she's not going to leave with either one of them after Forbidden Door. And she's going to, I don't really know if it's going to necessarily be considered a heel move or what they're going to do, because I don't see people booing her. I think she's that popular with fans. I don't see them booing her, but she's basically, I think she's winning the Owen Hart tournament anyways. So I think this is her way of going to the, basically All In. I think this is setting up her story with Toni Storm and All In. That's what I think. I could be completely off, and I guess we'll find out in a few days, but that's where I think we're headed.
Yeah, I don't have a lot. I mean, the match was fine. I felt like the match itself was really just a vehicle for this whole storyline of you know, can they coexist in the battle for Mariah May's affection. I don't know what you do with the Outcasts, really. They're just kind of there. They don't really have, I don't feel like they really have a program right now.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, going forward with Mariah May, and I think Tony wins and beats Mina. And I thought maybe Mariah would have a tougher choice as far as picking one side or the other. And maybe this is the time that she helps Tony after getting blasted on the head with a bottle. And that will set up for a one-on-one with her and Mina. Yeah. Before All In. And like you said, I mean, she can win the Owen and then challenge Tony and be the one to take the belt off of Tony. I just always thought that she would take it off her in a more like dastardly way and more of a backstabbing type of way, more of a, you know, single white female movie type of way of, you know, wanting to be the one so much that they take everything that they had. But so, yeah, I think the end goal still the same, I think.
Yeah.
And pull up my levels of fun scale here. Rob, where are you at? Where are you on the level of fun?
I give this a 2.
All right. We are really in agreement tonight because I'm at 2 as well. So for those who don't remember, 2 is an acceptable amount of fun. So just enough fun.
Whoops. I guess I'm the only one here right now. So, he'll be right back, I hope. So we will see. There he is.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hit the wrong, took all these tabs and ended up hitting a back arrow.
No problem. I took control for about 15 seconds. So
there you go. Well, that's about how long I wish the learning tree segment would have lasted. If that's next. I swear, Big Bill probably the best thing about the learning tree. And like, it really helps showing his range a little bit more. But
yeah,
Jericho and the Bad Apple and the Redwood all come out. Big Bill's upset that they were challenged to a 6-man tag, but you know, the Bad Apple, Brian Keith, has a bum arm. He calls Jericho the sensei of the sickos, which I hope doesn't become a thing. Because that'd be awful.
I assume you caught the Jericho Cody Rhodes reference. He's there for the young people.
Oh yes.
So that was. It is what it is. I mean, it just. I kind of get it in both ways, you know. I really do. I think. I mean, that's going a little off kilter here, but I see what Rhodes was talking about, but I also see where it actually, in Jericho's case, like to an extent, I kind of see it, but he just, in the Jericho way, I also see it like, I see it 50-50 in Jericho's way, because he's always part of it, but he's also really working with younger talent, so... He's doing both, but it's very weird. I don't know. It's hard to explain, and I just don't really like. It doesn't bother me as much as it bothered other people, I guess. A lot of this AEW, like when somebody says something about AEW or WWE, and the thing is, Cody didn't really even, from what I saw, Cody didn't say anything particular about AEW wrestlers or anything. He was talking about wrestlers in general. So it is what it is. I thought it was fine. And I thought what Jericho did was fine tonight. And he got a chuckle out of some people and got a reaction. And that's what you do in wrestling. You try to go for a reaction.
Right. Well, Big Bill goes on and talks about how, even though, you know, the Bad Apple has a bad arm, and you know, he uses it as a motivation thing as far as saying when one door closes, a forbidden door opens. So Jericho grabs a mic and said they got a video from someone who he assumes will be their partner, but he hasn't watched the video yet, but he asked them to play it. And Minoru Suzuki appears on this video screen and says, yeah, he doesn't want to tag with Chris. Chris got it wrong. He wants a one-on-one match with Jericho at Forbidden Door. And he says he doesn't really get, you know, what he's doing with the learning tree. He calls Jericho basically soft. So he wants a championship, an FCW championship match. And then, you know, Brian Keith gets on the mic and says that Jericho ain't no lame ass chicken. So then Samoa Joe's music hits, and then Joe and Hook and Shibata make their way down to the ring. And now Samoa Joe says that Shibata summed up everyone's feelings about Jericho better than anyone else. And then Shibata goes to his phone, and his speech to text says, "Oh brother, this guy sucks."
Yeah, and you know, like in the, as Kate wants to know what was the fun scale for me, like I give it a 1 until Suzuki got involved. And then when Samoa Joe showed up, it went from a, it made it up to a three, because I'm going to, Samoa Joe automatically in this fun scale level, he's always going to be at a two, no matter what. Like, he can't go below a one, so he automatically makes this a three. It's kind of like Steiner math. It's going to spell disaster for somebody at Sacrifice, either way, but, and Sacrifice has nothing to do with this, so that tells you where we're at.
See, if you're
Samoa Joe,
if you're Ryan, you would make some kind of Creed My Sacrifice reference.
Yeah, well, I'm not Ryan, thank God, right?
Hey, you said you're related through puns.
Well, yeah, but, and I'm more of a one last breath guy, though, so.
Yeah, well, before you're 6 feet under, I get it.
Shit.
So you say.
Okay. You guys have a good one. I'm out. No.
You said, so you are, you said a three then with Shibata? A level?
After Shibata, after, so when Minoru, so when Suzuki showed up, it became a two. If he didn't show up at all, this would have been a two, like if Samoa Joe appeared, because it automatically gets a two with Samoa Joe. So Samoa Joe made it a three because he appeared, because it was already at a two. So it's just simple math.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
I'm like the Stephen Hawking of this.
You know, I love Joe and Shibata and this team, but Jericho still brings it down for me. So I'm still at a one. That's how much
bad person.
That's how much learning tree segments hurt me. So even Joe can't save it.
Samoa Joe can save anything he wants to because he's Samoa Joe. He's also a clown in Twisted Metal. So
he was.
He is.
He had a very sweet tooth.
Season 2 coming soon, I hope. Well, I like that show, by the way, off topic.
It was good. Better than I thought as far as making a show off of that video game.
Yeah.
Before the segment ends, Jericho slaps Joe across the face and a brawl breaks out. I almost thought maybe the premier athlete would get involved and help beat down the Samoa Joe and Shibata and Hook, since they've been having their thing back and forth with them.
Well, I think they want to make it realistic and not let the premier athletes beat anyone down.
That's true, but I thought maybe they set up like a rampage or a collision match with the a six-man tag right before Sunday. So, oh boy. Well, I'm glad Kate is in the chat, if she's still in the chat. Hopefully she is, because this next one is for her. I don't even know how to even try to recap it all, because there's just so many moves and reverses. And I mean, in my notes, I wrote this match between Kyle O'Reilly and Zack Sabre Jr. as a Tekker's wet dream, because I mean, it was everything that you could have thought of. And you know, Orange Cassidy's out there for commentary, since he has a matchup with, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. on Sunday. We have the Kingdom at ringside with Gabe Kidd. Because we eventually learned that Gabe Kidd and Riley are going to team up in a tag match on Friday, I believe. So,
which is great right there by itself. Gabe Kidd and Roddy, yes, like on a team together, just sounds great to me.
Yes. So we start with some waist locks, some standing switches. You know, ZSJ gets O'Reilly down in the corner. I think this is when O'Reilly does a little round off and escapes the corner. We get a little test of strength. ZSJ does a Japanese stranglehold. We get a reverse, a leg pick, a cover, and it's just, you know, back and forth, evenly matched. And so we get a, let's see, Kyle turns the attention to a crossbar, but ZSJ reverses and gets one of his own. And again, they're at a stalemate. That's kind of been the story of the match, back and forth, back and forth. And after the commercial break, Zack Sabre Jr. gets a Cobra Twist, and then shifts to an octopus hold. He gives him an uppercut and a double wrist lock, but then O'Reilly sweeps a leg to give him a little bit of a breathing room, a little bit of a break. Pele kicks the elbow off the ropes for a small package for a count of two. And then the cross armbar applied. It's just going back and forth, really. And I think, let's see, looking at the notes here, double leg by O'Reilly takes ZSJ, hits him with a knee. He goes on and catches a kick, palm strikes. They go back and forth with some palm strikes. I think ZSJ kind of baited O'Reilly into a palm strike battle. So he grabs O'Reilly's arm into a triangle and gets him into a rollover and gets him to tap out with a Fujiwara armbar. Ooh, all right. I don't smoke, but man, I need a cigarette and an ice bath after that one. That's a lot to, it was a lot to watch and a lot to take notes about. So, Rob, where do you want to start with this match? I mean, there is a lot going on with this as far as maneuvers back and forth.
So, you know, I assume you've seen the movie Waterboy, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mighty Ducks, but yes.
Okay. So, you know, at the end of the movie, spoilers to anybody, Farmer Fran, at the end, when he's very excited, he's wearing his overalls and he's rubbing his pierced nipples. That's how I felt about this match. If I had pierced nipples, I would have been rubbing them.
You don't have pierced nipples?
No, not anymore. I took them out. But anyways, it's a four. Not four horsemen, but a four. That's the excitement level because that's what this match was. Anytime that I'm going to get Zack Sabre Jr. and Kyle O'Reilly kicking and just beating the hell out of each other, it's a gift that keeps on giving. That's my jelly of the month club right there. That's all I want for life. This was the match. I said last week in a tweet that Tony Khan, a couple weeks ago, he was booking for the Sickos. Then last week he booked for the Tape Traders. This week he did for both and Kick got a boner. So
that's impressive on a lot of levels. That's beyond war.
Yeah, you know,
and it's a standing ovation.
So I mean, this was something else. This match was great. Plus, you know, they tackled everything for this match in a coexisting way because Matt Taven was there. Matt Taven is my co-host. My co-host absolutely loves Matt Taven, so she got that. You got a hell of a match between two amazing wrestlers. I couldn't ask for more. Like, I did not want this match to end. And the thing was, I knew it had to end because we were getting a Will Ospreay match. So how that tells you, when you know you're getting a Will Ospreay match and Swerve Strickland match, and you don't want another match to end because of it, I would have been fine with those guys going another 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah, it would have been. I was happy as I could be. I just loved. You know, the thing is Bobby Fish, he's somewhere. Like, well, he's probably asleep because he's so old. But I know when he wakes up tomorrow morning to watch us at 4:30 in the morning, he's going to be very happy for his old friend Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh yeah,
because this was a hell of a match, and this will go down as one of my. Could it have been better? Yes, because there's. But it made sense that I'm trying to make it. The story made sense. The match made sense. I just wanted it to last longer, sort of like most of the women I'm with. They want it to last longer too, but that's a whole different show. Anyways,
you're dating women. Good on you.
Well, I'm not anymore. But anyways,
Will Ospreay didn't last very long, so you know.
Hey, we got that in common then. So, anyways, I lost my train of thought with all of this, but anyways, it was a hell of a match. I loved it. I want some more of it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. There's your clip.
Scott George did mention, you know, he enjoyed Taz asking why Orange Cassidy was named Orange. And the Orange response was, I don't know. You have to ask my mom. She named me. And I'm waiting at like the whole like constant infighting that Taz had with, you know, ZSJ and TMZK with their orange and black color scheme. That's always popped me listening to Taz argue, like be upset about, you know, trademarking orange and black are his colors. And it's the ongoing bit.
And that was the thing too with Jordan Grace. So that was good. And it turns out like the reason why we didn't get Tony Schiavone tonight was because he lost his voice. So, between the feud between me and Tony Schiavone that he has no idea exists.
Well played.
Suck it. So there you go.
Well, speaking of Orange Cassidy, after the match, he goes to the ring and, you know, him and he actually goes to the ring to check on Kyle O'Reilly because they have been, you know, a fellow conglomerate. I don't know what you would call a person in a conglomeration, but he goes to check on him. The Kingdom are there. They kind of push him away, saying, get away from him. We'll check on him. ZSJ pulls Orange back to the middle of the ring, and they have a little stare-off. And then Kate's favorite trio of guys, the other TMZK members come out. There's, you know, stand by ZSJ. And then while Cassidy looks all alone without any friends, the Stone Pitbull music hits, and it's Ishii is here, and he stands with Cassidy. And then all of a sudden, Gabe Kidd decides to interject himself with everything and pops up on the apron to yell at Orange. And I feel like he's just yelling at everyone. That's what Gabe Kidd does.
That's what Gabe Kidd does. I'm all for it.
So it's a lot of jaw-jacking and staring going on. And then we go to break.
The thing is Gabe Kidd, I mean, obviously he's Bullet Club, but if there's somebody that is meant for the name, like to be part of like chaos, it's that guy. Because I absolutely adore the guy. He's just pure chaos. And
I was not expecting to see him there tonight. So
he's always there. He's with us, one way or another. He's with us in our hearts.
I really do. I'm really sad that Kate wasn't able to join us to talk about that whole segment because of her love of TMZK and Shane and Robbie and Zach and all the teching out that she does.
I can't even spell TMDK, so I'm glad you were here.
There's no vowels in it. I'll tell you that.
Good.
Okay, well, after that match, which could have been a main event and probably should go be a 2 out of 3 falls match in the future. We go to the main event, and the main event is our second really match of the night of Can They Coexist? And it features Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay versus the Gates of Agony, a team that Swerve knows pretty well. And I don't know what they're doing with Gates of Agony, but they keep eating losses.
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Extreme losses, and I think after this one, maybe they go back to ROH and do stuff there, maybe again. But I don't have a lot of spots written down since I initially thought Kate was going to be here, and she's the person she's the controller of calling spots. But a lot of brawling to begin with. I felt like Ospreay and Swerve played nice. The majority of the match, they had a little bit of back and forth, one-upmanship, but overall, I thought they, you know, did well working together, especially toward the end. Strickland hits the poison Frankensteiner, helps Opera hit the poison Frankensteiner by kicking Toa. I think it was Toa he had on. I can't remember. I'm sorry, but Will springboards and does the cutter until it gets out. Swerve takes out Khan. He has him down in an arm breaker and steps on his arm. And as Leona looks on, that's when Ospreay takes off the elbow pad and hits him with the hidden blade. And that does it for the match. After the match, know, Ospreay goes and holds up the title, and that's when the coexisting ends, because then, you know, Swerve taking a disrespect, as he should, because you should never hold a title before you win it. He gives him the house call, and then Strickland puts his title on his shoulder and stands tall over Will. And that's the go home that we get before their matchup on Sunday at Forbidden Door. So, Rob, how do you think they did? You're an expert at coexisting. How do you think Ospreay and Strickland did?
Well, they definitely didn't coexist at the end. They coexisted well to win the match, and I guess that's what matters, because you want to win. But in the end, they set up their main event for this Sunday's pay-per-view, which they needed to do. I kind of find it, I don't know, I would have maybe kind of switched this around a little bit, maybe had this match last week and let Swerve in the show with him doing this and then letting him have their promo this week, maybe. I think that's probably what I would have done, but I thought it was okay. I think they went too much with the coexisting stuff tonight, in my opinion. But overall, it was good. It was a good show. I mean, I probably give it a 3 on the Ryan factor scale. So,
yeah, I think
Go on.
No, just saying, I'm with you on a 3 scale on a level.
Yeah, the other thing too is I'm very, very anxious to see. Maybe anxious isn't the right word, but I'm very eager to see where this goes, because of the opening segment. I think, in a way, I think we're getting a MJF versus Ospreay feud is what I think we're getting soon. But I also, sometimes AEW surprises me, and I don't know what the hell we're getting. So we'll see. This is also a way for maybe to get MJF involved in the title with Swerve quicker. I just don't know where they're going. I do like that Will Ospreay's pissing people off enough. He has three people, well, technically more than three. He has Don Callis possibly like lurking. You now have MJF, who's kind of irritated. Obviously, we saw that. You also have Swerve, who, let's be honest, I think after their match ends, they're going to shake hands, because I still think Will Ospreay is going to be part of the match in Nashville for the Guts.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see Ospreay win the world title Sunday. But then at the same time, I'd like to see him drop the international title to Garcia due to MJF shenanigans, which would then eventually lead to the MJF Ospreay match at All In. I don't know if that's... I don't love the idea of Ospreay would be losing that quickly after winning the world title, though, unless it would by some nefarious action. Well,
I think what happens, like they always do, is Tony Khan, he's Tony Tournament, you know. I think if Ospreay wins that title, they're just going to do a damn tournament. I think that's what they do. That's my opinion, but I've been wrong before.
Or, you know, yeah, maybe. Who knows with all these belts we have.
But I just don't think Ospreay's winning. I think my prediction of they're saving Ospreay versus Ricochet at All In is what I think we're getting. That's why I think we're not getting. I think that's why we're getting all this now. I think that's why we're getting Ospreay versus Swerve now instead of later on.
Yeah, I just see that. I'm with you. Well, Rob, that was the show. Wow, like you said, I thought the Dynamite went by pretty quickly, so that's usually a good sign for me that the show was pretty decent. It paced well and went by fast and had a lot of fun with it. So on to Forbidden Door on Sunday. I know we've kind of talked a little bit about how that's shaping up. What's your level of excitement or fun going as far as looking forward to this show?
Oh, I give it a 4. I'm always anxious going, or always excited going into pay-per-views, whether it's WWE or AEW. Going into pay-per-views, I'm always excited because it gives me an outlook of where we're headed next. And with AEW this time, I really don't know where we're headed after Forbidden Door to an extent. So.
All right. Well, Rob, I guess I should probably promote some things here to close out the show and do my due diligence. And that would be to, one, follow the Mark Order on social media at Mark Order Pod, Instagram, whatever Twitter is called these days, Facebook. I think we're on Threads too. I don't know. Here on YouTube every Wednesday night after Dynamite. Occasionally on Saturdays, we do ColliderCast. I don't know if we have one this Saturday or not, but follow on our social medias to find out. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can also go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and buy a shirt to help support us that way as well. Help put some money in our pocket so we can help pay for this StreamYard service. Otherwise, yeah. Enough shilling for the Mark Order podcast. I'm going to let you, Rob, tell people where they can find you.
Well, guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. Every Friday at 3 o'clock, I co-host a show called Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. This week, we'll be doing our Forbidden Door predictions. And we just have a good old time for about an hour and a half. We just talk a bunch of nonsense and just have fun. So check us out, Fightful Overbooked, at 3 o'clock Eastern, just for a good old time. And then Sunday at, I am thinking, 2 o'clock Eastern, we will be having the Fightful Select pre-show, which is another just prediction show for the most part, where I have a different guest. So you're invited if you want to be part of it. But we'll be going just kind of, a lot of people just join. Like, usually Ryan's part of it.
Oh, I'm out then.
Oh, okay. See, I get it. I understand. Chris Mueller of Bleacher Report, who also does tech support for Bleacher Report. So all kinds of good things going on.
Well, yeah, there you go. Follow Rob. Good guy to follow on the socials. And even though he's a Vikings fan. So.
Yeah, I'm not
proud of it. Yeah, no one's perfect. We get it. Yeah. You can find me on social media at _AsianJoe. You can find a link in my bio on my social media to my serial review blog. I guess I can help shill for Ryan. He's not here. And I'll be nice and say that you can follow his history blog at Here for History. I believe that's what it is on social media. So you can read about his writings and thoughts about history. It's not revisionist. It's actual history. Otherwise, that should do it. So thank you guys for tuning in tonight and bearing with us and having to deal with my face and Rob's lovely voice and face again for the second week in a row. And we'll see if some of the regular members of the Mark Order podcast make a return next week, or who knows what will happen next Wednesday. It'll be a beach break or bash at the beach or something in Chicago. But anyway, we will see you then. Thank you guys. I will do my Ryan impression here and put my commercial overlay on, and then I will scroll through the menu to find my music. La-di-da. And there it is. Good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.